This is Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hit! Browns are going to win!
Mayfield, Enzone, Landry, touchdown!
With Dan Kadar and Browns beat writer Nate Ulrich of the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. With Steve Dorshuk from the Canton Repository.
It's intercepted! Picked off by Denzel Ward!
Chubb will take this all the way! 92 yards!
Ready, Browns fans. Now, Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Happy Sunday after a Browns win, I guess. It didn't mean a lot, but it brings forward a lot of questions. Hi, I'm George Thomas from the Beacon Journal, the Akron Beacon Journal, with Steve Dorshuk from the Canton Repository, Nate Ulrich from the Beacon Journal, and Marla Reidenauer from the Beacon Journal. You know what? I woke up this morning, checked Twitter, and I hear everything's hunky-dory in Brownsland between Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski. And I have one fundamental question for you guys. How important was it to get that out there and dispense with it today, right away? Just be done with it going into the off season.
Well, do you believe it all, George? No, I'm not joking at all, okay? So there's a few things that happened here. Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield met for the exit interview of Mayfield, okay? Normally that happens the day after the game, but because Mayfield was shut down for the season, Stefanski explained he wanted to knock it out early. He's got a full slate tomorrow with a bunch of other players, you know, the vast majority of the team. So they met Friday and the meeting went well. I was told that the meeting was productive. There's a path forward for these guys to work together. You know, there's still going to be issues to work out. And then after the game, Stefanski said Mayfield left the meeting on a positive note. Mayfield did not speak with us in the Cleveland media, but he told the Fox sideline reporter, as she relayed during the telecast, that he had a good meeting with the coaches and staff recently about his plans for the future, and he's going to undergo this surgery January 19th, which we know, hopes to be back to work in late April. He's going to be in a sling for about 6 weeks after the operation. So that's kind of the update. Now, NFL Network, which originally reported the meeting, also portrayed this to mean that the Browns are moving forward with plans to keep Mayfield as their starting quarterback for next season. Plans change, though. So that very well may be the case now, and that's fine. And after a productive meeting and you have the guy under contract, all of that makes sense. We will see, though. I expect the Browns to be active in exploring the quarterback market. I don't expect it to be easy to land a clear-cut upgrade over Mayfield. It's going to be an ultra hyper-competitive trade market out there, and there are going to be a lot of teams with better position with draft capital to deal for some of these guys who may or may not be available. I spoke and wrote about at length my discussions with former NFL agent Joel Corey on Friday night, and I agree with him. His bottom line is, yeah, there are a lot of things that can happen in this quarterback market with the Browns, but the most realistic outcome is that the Browns would bring in competition for Mayfield instead of just outright replacing him.
That being said, they bring in competition. And I'm going to you, Nate, because you've done a lot of the reporting on this. Your gut feeling on this, is it competition for you, or are they looking to replace him, even though in theory they could have him under control? They exercise that fifth year option. They can franchise him for two more years after that. That's 3 years of control to find somebody else if they want. What do you think the likely outcome is?
I told you, I agree with Joel Corey. I have the same feeling that it's the most likely outcome this offseason is that they actually end up replacing Case Keenum instead of Baker Mayfield, meaning that you go out and you sign somebody, whether it's a Marcus Mariota or a Teddy Bridgewater, a guy who you would not say, well, it's time to get rid of Baker Mayfield, but a guy who you could come in, have a competition, or, you know, you start with Baker as your starter, but you do have a fallback plan. And not to say Keenum can't do that, but a guy who is a little bit younger and has more upside, I think is probably what they would be looking for. So, you know, I don't think that Baker Mayfield and Case Keenum will be back next season. I am thinking that the likely outcome is Baker Mayfield is back with competition.
Any thoughts, Steve?
Marla? That's a fair scenario, Nate. Yeah, that's a fair scenario. I see it differently. I see it in a more simplistic way as follows. Baker Mayfield was just fine at the end of the last season when he was healthy, behind a line that was healthy and with Chubb and Hunt at his disposal. It didn't even matter at that point that they didn't have a number one receiver with OBJ out for the season. Things were going just fine. Mayfield was a natural. Whatever he wanted to do, he did in certain games. Wherever he wanted to put the ball, he put it. I thought he looked good, and I thought he proved in that stretch that he can play at a decently high level and maybe even just a flat-out high level in this league. I thought this season was a don't want to necessarily call it a comedy of errors, because a part of the comedy really was the tragedy of bad luck. That bad luck beginning when Mayfield was hurt in the second week of the season, and really nothing was ever the same after he threw a pick and got his left shoulder turned into hamburger while they're trying to make a tackle on that pick. Where I come down on this, and where I think the most plausible outcome is going to play out, is that they take a deep breath, go to the thought that Mayfield was making serious progress in his playoff season, and that what he did this year when he was either grossly mismanaged or just flat out mismanaged by being played when he shouldn't have been played, and that would open a whole Pandora's box in itself, that they're going to flush that, go back to 2020.
And obviously I think that the injuries definitely affected Baker Mayfield this season. So started by saying that he disagrees with me, but he really doesn't disagree with me. We're on the same page with that. I think what he disagrees with me, if I can understand what he was getting at before he broke up, was that he doesn't think competition is going to be brought in. I do totally disagree with that. I don't think there's any way they're going status quo in the quarterback room this offseason. I would be stunned if Baker and Keenum came back and Nick Mullins, and they're just like, hey, forget 2021. 2020 is all that matters. That doesn't make any sense to me. This is the NFL. It's what have you done for me lately? A bunch of injuries and extenuating circumstances. I think it's worth seeing what Baker Mayfield can do, but I think you definitely have to have some kind of way to move forward if it's more of the struggles that we saw this season.
Sorry, Steve, you want to finish? Go back to your thoughts. Yeah,
the finish was that Mayfield 220, in my opinion, put this in a synopsis form, Mayfield 220 proved he can play. Mayfield 221 was a joke because he shouldn't have been on the field at certain points because he wasn't fit to play. And the reasonable way that everybody's going to come down, in my view, is that you go with Mayfield 220, try to heal all the psychological and emotional garbage that grew out of his inefficient play and bad play when he shouldn't have been playing in 2021. Flush that and say, okay, Baker, you're our guy. Nate, what I was starting to say about bringing in a guy as a possible competitor for Mayfield, I just don't see that the menu of people historically who have been gettable in this sort of a situation are really competition. They're just bodies, not any better than, not much better than Keenum, in some cases not as good. So whereas it might be a nice thing to do if you could get somebody to bring in as a competitor for Baker if he doesn't work out, and since he's heading into free agency after that, then that'd be nice. But I just don't see what name you could plug into that scenario.
Well, I just gave you two, and one of them was with Stefanski in Minnesota. The other guy, Marcus Mariota, had this very thing happen to him when he was in his fifth-year option. year in Tennessee. They brought in Ryan Tannehill in a trade with the Dolphins, and then ultimately the rest is history. It's Tannehill's team now. So I do think that I agree with you about the injury, Steve, but I do disagree with you about the idea that the Browns are likely to seek competition. And I think that, you know, again, people want to talk about Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, and then to a lesser extent, Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, it's there's going to be complications and to those, you know, varying degrees, but it's just not going to be easy to land one of those in a trade. You can't rule it out, but, you know, some guys are more likely than not. Like the big fish, as I talked about with Joel Corey, Rodgers, Wilson, and Watson, to me, that's like fantasy football. I mean, that would be a really, really swing for the fences surprise. And then you can go down from there and get into a more realistic tier beyond that. But in terms of free agents, a couple are Mariota and Bridgewater, you know, who obviously was with Stefanski in Minnesota. So I would keep an eye on those. But, you know, it's going to be an offseason full of this, guys. This discussion's not going to end anytime soon.
Yeah, but that's Nate, those are good names. But my point is that I don't think that those types of guys are worth bringing in to compete with the 2020 Mayfield, who's fine. Well, I want the 2020. Right. But you mentioned Tannehill. I'd rather have 2020 Mayfield than Tannehill. You'd mentioned Bridgewater. I'd way rather have 2020 Mayfield than Bridgewater. And I'd way rather have 2020 Mayfield than Mariota. So that's right. Kind of my point about the guys you can get in. You know, what's almost would be in the way.
But you're making my point for me, Steve. If you're the Browns, if you're Andrew Berry, you cannot guarantee you're going to get 2020 Mayfield back. Therefore, you need a viable contingency plan.
You do, but the contingency plan is only a plan to go 8-9 again, I think. And I want a plan that has the real quarterback. I think 2020 Mayfield can be a real quarterback as opposed to the other guys we're talking about. Of course, Tannehill, you can't bark too much about Tannehill if you would get a Tannehill type because they're the number one seed, aren't they, with Tannehill?
Right. Well, George and I like comic books and superheroes, and you wrote that Mayfield is Hawkeye. So if you're writing Mayfield is Hawkeye, how confident are you that he's going to be the answer?
Yeah. Yeah, my kids tell me he has no superpowers, and then I never saw him. So.
Merle, you look like you want to chime in on this.
Well, I just wanted to point out that when I read Nate's, I mean, it's actually a really good two-part thing with Joel Corey, but after I read the quarterback one, I texted him this morning. There's really nobody I really want, even on the whole list except for Derek Carr. So, you know, if the Raiders decide to keep him, I mean, but here's my other point on this. I'm with Nate on the, you have to make Baker Mayfield uncomfortable and push him when he comes back. I mean, I know he's going to be motivated because he's coming off. I think this is the worst season of his career. Just, it doesn't matter what the stats say, just the way he was throwing the ball all over the yard. But I still think you need someone more than Case Keenum to provide a threat. If, you know, just the psychological push that I think he might need. I mean, like I said, I'm sure he's going to be motivated, but I think you need an upgrade from Keenum. But it doesn't look great out there. It's almost like you almost need to be scouring the second teamers everywhere and seeing if there's someone you might be able to get, because the list of the obvious choices. Obviously, I'm still dreaming, you know, about the one of the big fish, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
You would have.
Now we can't understand you, George.
I said you and every Browns fan in Northeast Ohio's dreams about big fish like Watson and Rodgers and Russell Wilson, and it's like I'm with Nate. That's fantasy football. Talk to me when you're living in a fact-based, reality-based realm. Because I don't know. I just don't see that happening. You know what would interest me? Derek Carr would interest me. He would very much interest me.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would agree with you. One other thing I do want to mention, guys, is, you know, there is a draft. And although this isn't supposed to be a strong quarterback draft class, you know, we saw it with the, you know, the Titans is one team, and I mentioned how they did a quarterback kind of swap and competition. And the Eagles is another one with Carson Wentz. They drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round, and, you know, now they're going to the playoffs with him. So I do wonder if, even though I think a lot of people kind of hear that it's a weak quarterback draft and so it's easy to dismiss, I do wonder if that's an avenue the Browns can take. And, you know, I'm not saying it's necessarily a first round guy, but, you know, if you draft a guy in the second round, Stefanski likes, thinks can, you know, fit this system really well. You never know. I think it's something we need to definitely pay attention to and not forget about.
But their needs at other positions, Nate, and it's, you know, this is the kind of discussion we can have all day, and presumably at their big table in Berea, they will have for many days in the coming weeks and months before the draft. But you mentioned layup. Yeah, maybe if you can get one in round two, if you can't succeed in round one. Well, the last round two guy we got was Deshaun Kizer, and that didn't work out great. Or go to round three and get lucky. The last round three guy that the Browns brought in was Cody Kessler. Of course, he could have had Dak Prescott there, but you know, that gets into a whole other 9 yards of evaluating quarterbacks. But the reason I don't want to draft a quarterback, I wouldn't want to draft a quarterback, is they have needs and positions that can make a difference now. If this year's team had been healthy and it would have had another wideout, i.e. if their first-round pick might have been a wideout, then things would have been hunky-dory maybe. But maybe next year when they get healthy and get the rest of their roster in place and add the draft guys, you know, that first round and the second round pick, I think those are going to have to be people who help them. And who was I listening to today? Not that John Greco is an offensive coordinator material, but I heard Greco on the air saying that he's in, count him in the crowd that would spend the first round pick on wide receiver. I certainly would consider it sitting here as an armchair quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the logical way to go in the first round, just on the surface. But, you know, I don't buy the Deshaun Kizer, Cody Kessler stuff. I mean, how many busts in the first round can you name for the Browns? A ton. And Derek Carr was a second round pick, and everybody, I think, on the podcast thinks he's done pretty well for himself. So I don't think that you can say that that would be a bad idea. I mean, it depends on who the pick is. So obviously it's case by case.
Okay. I looked at Brown's free agents going into the off season, who they're going to be for you guys. Who's a must have back off that list? There are a couple prominent names there, including Jadeveon Clowney, D'Ernest Johnson. You know, I like the way Malik McDowell played this year. He's a restricted free agent, though.
No, he's exclusive rights, so he'll be back as long as the Browns want him. D'Ernest Johnson's restricted free agent, so they can easily keep him with a tender. You know, if somebody can try to sign him to an offer sheet, but the Browns get right of first refusal, I think you want to keep him for your depth if you can. You know, obviously, he's probably a guy who could play a lot more somewhere else, but Kareem Hunt missed half the season with injuries. So, you know, I think that you would want him back. For me, George, the answer is Jadeveon Clowney. This is a guy who resurrected his career, was a face of the revamped defense in terms of the incoming new guys. And I think that, you know, he had fun, got along with Garrett, stayed healthier than he has been in a long time, was well-liked by teammates and coaches, and I think he checked all the boxes as a guy you would want to bring back.
I agree on Clowney. I don't know who second place would be in the got to have him back derby. Of course, the big one with Clowney is he has the ego of a former number one overall draft pick, and he's kind of hard for me, Nate. He's hard to read and what his disposition might be in terms of, well, let's suppose the Browns offer him 10 mil and somebody else offers him 10 mil, whatever it would be, 10, 12, whatever it is. He probably played his way up a little bit with his performance this year, we would agree.
Yeah.
But there's just no way for me, in my own mind, to predict whether he wants to come back, even though, well, I think Woods, the DC, in his views the other day, expressed it pretty clearly, and that is, it's not at all clear what they can do. They want him back. They sure don't know if they can get him back.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'd say this last three or four games, he might have priced himself like almost to the top of their, you know, their market value. You know what I mean? Like, can they still afford him now? I mean, I think you got to also think about Njoku. I don't know. I'm somewhat – the tight end core is so disappointing. But then when I'm watching Case Keenum, like, hitting guys in stride and thinking if Baker can get back to that, there was a point of the game, at least in one drive, where Keenum hit three guys right in the hands. And I'm thinking, man, if – you know, if you have that Baker, you know, I still think Njoku is a weapon, but we'll see how that goes. I do think they got to do something about this tight end group.
Yeah,
that's an odd one, too. They came into the season appearing to have some great prospects there with Njoku emerging last year, and you figure that maybe Hooper would get back to where he was when he had that bust-out first half with Atlanta in 2019. And Harrison, the number – to me, it's that was a group that made you smile then. Now it's – you get – got a big frown on your face when you're looking at what that trio did this year. Maybe Sans Harrison, who is a little bit blameless because he played less and didn't get as many catch opportunities, and maybe he can grow. But yeah, to the point of somebody among the guys you would like to have back, who's in second place. Yeah, maybe it's Njoku, but no, it's not like he's, for me, a must-have on the roster. It's what would be nice to have on the roster, not a must-have for him.
I'm just saying you must have another tight end. I don't know if it's him.
Yeah, and then there are a lot of guys on defense who are on, like, those one-year contracts, like the newer, you know, Malik Jackson, Anthony Walker Jr., a couple of them. You know, a weird one is Ronnie Harrison. Like, he might have been like the third best defensive player last season. Just fell off the map this year.
How many times was he concussed this year?
I don't know about that. That doesn't sound right.
But he was hurt a lot.
He was hurt, but I don't know if it was concussion.
Two names to throw out. You know, I mean, this is a little bit of a tangent, not completely related to the guys we're talking about, but two guys who did stand out today. Who maybe are emerging along the lines of hope Harrison emerged. But two guys who played pretty well today and played a lot today were Phillips, the linebacker, and Elliott, the interior defensive lineman. Two positions where they really need help, and those guys got a lot of valuable experience today, and both from what others are saying. I mean, my own observation would be that they did fine, but Deacon, for one, and I listened to Deke on his last cast a lot, but Deke was one of the guys who was pointing out that both of those guys look pretty sharp today and were reasons for hope.
Yeah, and Malik Jackson disappointed there in the interior. I think he's a good leader, but, you know, in terms of performance, it wasn't always there. And Tack McKinley, he had a nice little stretch there and then ruptured Achilles, so you know, he's also unrestricted. Malcolm Smith is unrestricted again. None of these really jump out as got to have guys. You know who I like on this list who really in the last quarter of the season, you know, took advantage of my opportunity would be MJ Stewart. You know, a guy who can give you depth as a nickel back and a safety. You know, I think that they need to look at bringing him back for a little, you know, whatever, even if it's a one-year deal or what another, you know, prove-it deal. The restricted guys, D'Ernest is the standout. Chase McLaughlin, George. You love to talk about kickers. There you go. And then
who was the offensive coordinator famous for saying, hey, way to go, you kicker, you? No.
Got me on that one. But they certainly have issues on special teams.
Hunter and kicker. Well, they have issues across the board because nobody really developed as a returner. Even my buddy JoJo wasn't able to help. So
Stewart knocked some snot bubbles out of a couple of guys today. Nate, but he's a name, as you were mentioning, some of those guys that stands out to me. He made a couple of big hits today, and it wasn't the first time for him.
Right. It's like, if you look at his season compared with Ronnie Harrison, I mean, Ronnie Harrison was like supposed to be a guy who's going to work his way into consideration for an extension, a guy that Andrew Berry traded for and just totally fell flat this year. Well, MJ Stewart, you know, he's been the opposite, a guy they claimed off waivers, low expectations. He is a former second round pick, so obviously somebody thought highly of him then, and he's played really well.
All right, guys. Number one priority for the Cleveland Browns beginning tomorrow. What is it?
Make up with Baker. And Baker make up with everybody.
Well, that kind of happened Friday.
I'm not going to say that. So
I think that, it's obviously quarterback situation. You know, what are you going to do? And here's what I think. This is my kind of big picture assessment of the season. Obviously, 8-9, unmet expectations. You know, this is a team that had Super Bowl expectations heading in. And it wasn't just us writing that and talking about it. That's the way that the team felt about its talent and the continuity it had in its coaching staff and on the offensive side. And, you know, obviously that didn't pan out. Okay. So it feels like a disaster in some ways because of what's gone on with Baker and publicly criticizing Kevin Stefanski's play calling twice in the last month. Okay. But Paul DePodesta, Andrew Berry, and Kevin Stefanski are here. And as far as I know, there's been no indication that they're at each other's throats like so many regimes of the past. So if you still have that alignment with those three guys, it's not a complete dumpster fire like it has been many times. Now, Steve is right. The Baker piece, I mean, who's more important than a franchise quarterback in an NFL team or NFL organization? So is he that for you? And if so, yeah, make it right. Whatever it is, everybody needs to get on the same page about what they're doing with the quarterback. I mean, if there is that alignment, get that alignment on the number one issue and move forward and see how it works out this offseason. See what you can or cannot do, and then the dominoes will fall accordingly.
I would say this is – would be a good time for when Baker gets back to Austin or wherever he's going to train until he gets, you know, ready to start really training. I think it's time for another Kevin Stefanski visit, you know, wherever he is. So I think they got to do everything in their power, like you said, to kind of get this relationship back on track.
Guys, we'll see you in probably for OTAs or something like that. Hope you enjoyed what we did here. I'm George Thomas with Marla Reitenauer, Nate Ulrich, Steve Dorshak, and we're out for the regular season.